dances. She's happy on her own. And she picks up all the pieces. She's going home.
Baby, I'm home, I'm home, I'm home.
Yeah, she's going home.
Baby, I'm home, I'm home, I'm home.
By George, the dream is alive.
GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast with Brian Lawrence and Chris Jones, the original George Mason basketball podcast.
They're on their feet. Here, Hancock! Oh! Off the top of the backboard, no. Loose, Hancock!
Brian!
What, Jones?
We're undefeated!
Are you sure?
Yeah! We're like 2-0. It's pretty crazy, right?
You are screaming, and that must mean you're excited.
I'm psyched! Who tweeted out this statistic? We haven't been 2-0 for, what, 6 years or something? So
let's just say under Paulson. We haven't been 2-0. And it feels good. Yeah, we're beating teams that aren't that good, but they've given us tests. And this last one was, you know, versus
Longwood.
They really hit the three late in that game to kind of bring them back in. At one point, we were up 20, and they really fought back.
Well, let's jump right into Longwood. Let's just jump out the gate. The score was 76-65. I know we talked about it last podcast. The one thing that we thought may give us fits was their hashtag size. Actually, we ended up out-rebounding them quite handily, so that worked out. But ultimately, yeah, they were hitting threes. They were 10 of 31 from deep. We were 6 of 14, so pretty efficient from deep from us as well. But yeah, it was kind of close, but not really. Like, I felt like we were never really scared, right? Like, they came back, but I was never really worried, right?
And to build on the rebounding point, you look down the list, multiple, like 9 different guys grabbed more than one rebound. It wasn't like one person just dominating the glass. It was a full team effort. And I have to assume after the Navy game where they kind of dominated, it was a point of emphasis in practice and the guys came out and showed it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the theme thus far through 2 games. I know small sample size, but no one's really doing anything in particularly like noteworthy in any one particular stat. I think I tweeted out like who our defense is going to focus on. Like scoring's coming from everywhere, rebounds are coming from everywhere, assists are coming from everywhere. It's kind of nuts. Everyone's kind of pitching in, and it's got to be hard to game plan for, you know.
Even to the point where Hartwell carried us in the first half, then went cold. So then Green picks up the slack, carries us in the second half. You know, yeah, do we want to see these guys kind of put together a full game? Sure. But if they can continue to do what they're doing and score in bunches, and especially Green hit huge shots when Longview was kind of...
Longwood. You love Longview.
When Longwood was kind of hitting threes, Green answered. You know, yeah. And he didn't just like... He didn't just like kind of hit his threes. He was 4 for 7. So the guy was hitting at an amazing clip, 6 for 11, you know, from the field goal, and just kind of did it all.
I think so. One thing that we can kind of hone in on, it's pretty much from deep, the Hartwell Green show. I mean, those are the only two reliable shots. Those are the only two that are really making them from deep. So if I'm a defense, you know, if they have the ball at the perimeter, you know, be prepared because they're essentially all we got right now until, you know, maybe Kyer's return. But let's go a little bit deeper into the game. Another thing that's still a problem, I know we talked about it last week on the podcast, still wasn't addressed, was the free throw shooting. We shot an abysmal 42%. You know, are we going to do something about this? We shot 42% from three. We actually shot 63% from free throw, which is okay, I guess. But I still would like that number a little higher.
It's still not great, and it's troublesome down the stretch in games. You know, A.J. Wilson's going to get to the line a lot, went 1 for 3. He's going to have to clean that up. I just think, you know, we're still young. You know, yeah. some of that stuff we got to work through. I think we'll get better at that. You know, the things that I'm kind of looking at is just kind of, you know, the way that minutes are deviated, the scoring being even. You know, you're looking at an XJ, he's playing 25 minutes, you know, third most on the team.
It's crazy, man.
And yeah, he may not have hit his threes, but he took two. So I would say he's kind of teetering that three-point threat. Sure, probably not going to shoot 40%, but he's not scared to take them. I think what he showed, you know, obviously not as good of a game as this first game, but had 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, making his presence felt on the court. If XJ is grabbing 5 boards as a freshman guard, you know, that just shows an energy that he brings to the squad. And the way that he kind of gets to the basket with the finesse, I don't, you know, by the time he gets to his junior year, that's going to be a skill set that I think that A-10 is going to need to be scared of. And Hartwell, again, led in minutes with 35.
Yeah. Well, to go back to XJ real quick, and you know, we could be reading a little bit too much into this, but I posted a picture yesterday. It was a picture of X, Callie, and Green running up the court, said squad, whatever. But AJ posts underneath, court general. And it's like, we have upperclassmen calling our freshmen court generals. Like, you know, maybe there's some respect there already. Like, maybe X is... maybe a team leader already. I don't know. But I think it just kind of says a lot when people are looking at him as sort of, you know, leading the charge, essentially. So,
one thing I noticed in the game, because I actually came back and the next day watched it on ESPN Plus, there was one point where XJ kind of went up to .Z and was like, you know, he was explaining to him what he did wrong. You know, so you have a freshman explaining to a freshman what he did wrong. It has to indicate that he is some type of leader on the floor.
And can we just talk about just collectively as a freshman, and I know that we're probably going to want to touch on Aduro as well, but in general, the impact of the freshman this year with X, Daddy, Aduro, and obviously a small sample size, but it's really the minutes that they're logging, the impact that they're having all over the stat sheet, and things that are not showing up on the stat sheet. It's as much as we've ever relied on a freshman class since the Otis and Grayer class, right? Like, it just feels like we're really needing these guys, and they're kind of stepping up.
And that was by default. You know, that was Paulson's first year. A lot of guys had left the program. He kind of squeezed in freshmen because he had to. Now, don't necessarily have to this year. You know, Calix is getting 12 minutes. He got 12 minutes last game. That's a storyline that we're going to need to watch. Is he slowly losing his position? 12 minutes, 2 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. You know, nothing too special. But Aduro, 16 minutes, 10 points, 4 boards. I mean, the guy did a lot with a little amount of time. We saw lineups of AJ at the 5 with Marr and Miller at the forwards, which I like. I didn't like that being a primary lineup, but that being a secondary lineup going against, you know, other bench guys, I'm all for it. So just kind of the mix of Aduro and Calixt, I think there's a storyline there to watch. Chris, you weren't sold on Aduro originally. He had kind of that big head in that first photo. Looked like he was going through puberty. It was like, who is this guy?
You judged
him on his look, and don't lie.
Okay, A, calm down, Zippy. B, I'm trying to figure out how he could say this. But yeah, maybe. I don't know. He looked... it wasn't appearance based, but maybe his body wasn't there yet. Like, I wanted that chiseled frame. I thought maybe he could stand or maybe redshirt a year and maybe, you know, it's hard to say grow into your body, but just kind of work on some things. He wasn't necessarily the most polished offensively, but he's proving me wrong, gladly. You know, and so... yes, he is taking minutes from Cali, and you know what? That's great. If we have two big men that can split some time, get some rest, they we don't have to worry about foul problems. Hey, I mean, I'm all for it. And one other thing, though, that I want to kind of go back on, and we could start looking at, you know, as the season progresses, we could start looking at trends as well. But I know we talked about it last week, but again, Marr, 17 minutes, 2 points.
It was a nice looking 2 points, though.
Yeah. He got into the
paint, hit a little fadeaway. He actually facilitated a couple times as well.
He got an assist. He got 4 rebounds. He did some stuff. He definitely elevated from the Zippy that he put up the week before. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's
troubling.
It's becoming a thing.
Yeah.
So, but
and I think it's very clearly confidence based. I do think he has a skill. I'd like to see him dribble penetrate more. I'd like to see him get into the paint, because when he does that, he does have a good eye for cutters. He can facilitate. I like him. He's
love him. I mean, we just want him back, you know?
Right. And I think he wants to be back. I do see kind of a lack of excitement from him out there. You know, I don't know if he's going through something himself, if he's just kind of, that's just kind of his mannerisms in general. But, you know, 17 minutes, 2 points, 4 rebounds, you know, off the bench, you take it, but you just expected more. I don't think before the season we would have said XJ is playing 25 minutes. You know, I don't think we would have thought Hartwell's playing 35 minutes. Yeah, I thought he was going to play a lot, but not 5 minutes shorts of the whole game. So I think over time, Mar will kind of sneak into some of those minutes, being able to play that wing position, and Kyer will be able to handle the ball. And at that point, you know, if you have a XJ and a Hartwell on the bench and you squeeze in a Kyer and a Mar, you're extra big. So I'm excited to see, you know, what our future holds. You put out a good point, like, you know, without Kyer, what do people focus on? I think right now that's AJ Wilson. He impacts the game at so many levels.
5 more blocks. He's just, you know, I think he may end up like with the all-time record in blocks, maybe in a single season, maybe all-time career. I don't know, but the pace he's going at is nuts. He may lead all Division I basketball in blocks. I don't know, man. This kid is just going bonkers on the court, but yeah, I'm really stoked to see him versus Long Island. It should be kind of cool to see if these trends continue, if some people, you know, step up. One person that we haven't talked about, who hasn't played, who's not really doing anything, is Jason Douglas Stanley, JDS. What do you say? I mean, it's like another game, 2 minutes, zippy points. Do you start to, you know, file the transfer paperwork? I mean, what's going on here? It's like you got to figure he can't beat out freshmen at this point. I don't know if he's in the doghouse or what, but I don't know. I was kind of psyched for him, and he's just kind of a big nothing.
This is a kid coming in that, you know, you and I watching highlights were basically salivating over. Thought he could score at all levels. Does have the hops to get to the rim. Can hit the outside J. One thing that I've noticed being able to sit on the court is his shot is kind of flat. And before he gets that shot up, you know, your shot only gets flatter as people close out on you, as the pressure hits. You're not going to shoot with better arc. So if in warmups he's not shooting with good arc, it's not going to get any better come game time. And that's something that may be fundamentally flawed in his shot. I still think he has an opportunity. It's kind of like the AJ Wilson treatment. You know, not all freshmen under Paulson get playing time. You know,
well, he's a sophomore now, so.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a good point.
I get what you're saying.
But what I meant was young people.
There's some parallels with AJ. Like, you know, you see the hype, you see the videos from high school, you know it's there. Obviously, they're working on something, but obviously he's just not getting the playing time for whatever reason. But
it's tough if all freshmen are getting 10-plus minutes and you're not.
Yeah, right. But speaking of flat shots, I mean, that's your kind of go-to in beer pong, and you seem to be pretty effective with it. So,
I mean, if you throw a hand in my face or, you know, running at me screaming, I'm probably not going to hit at a good clip.
It's kind of my defense when I play against you, though. Am I not running at you and screaming?
Kind of are.
Right.
It would actually be kind of fun to play these kids in beer pong. They actually swung by the tailgate, which we should touch on real quick. Before the tailgate started to pop, they kind of walked through, just walk into their dorm since they're over there. By the aquatic center, and they just kind of said what's up. You know, they thanked us for everything that we do. I think they wanted to see the tailgate. They didn't really get to see much, but as time went on, it kind of filled up. It's conveniently located, you know, where a lot of students walk. You know, it's between the aquatic center and Patriot Center.
Pretty vague. So it's right where kids walk.
Well, it could be like deep in a parking lot, yeah, like by the University Mall, where like nobody's walking. But
right,
they put it in a good spot right between the Aquatic Center and the Patriot Center. So a lot of kids are A lot of people are either walking to the parking lot or just cutting through the Patriot Center from one part of the campus to the other. So we did get some stragglers. We got some people that kind of popped in. And David and I were not shy about giving stuff away. We gave out food. We gave out beverages. People were...
Beverages to those that were 21 and older, or if they were younger than 21, they were getting Coke.
We had soda pops. We had soda water. And then we had a grill out there. So by, you know, by 6 o'clock, it was cold and everyone was huddled around our grill. It kind of made for an intimate setting. You know, it forced conversation. Now we're all hanging out.
You're on jerks.
I'm hitting some random chick's jewel. She's like, please stop asking me for it. I didn't care.
Okay. And You're about to die.
And it was just like a good event. We cooked hot dogs. A girl brought like trays of Buffalo Wild Wings. It was banging. You know, it was just like, it was a very subtle, small tailgate. It climbed as the night went on, but you could see how this will be successful, especially on a Saturday versus a JMU.
And then just to remind folks, though, the actual players that popped in, it was Green, Miller,
AJ, XJ.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And
they kind of the starting five that you want to see.
Yeah, we kind of joked with them. You know, they were laughing. I asked them if, you know, where they hang out, if there's parties in Fairfax. They were like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of funny. We're just joking, you know, telling them keep shooting, keep winning, and we'll keep showing out. But Saturday at 3 o'clock, you know, get your tickets. And if you don't get your parking pass, still show up. They let me drive my car in there because it was so empty. So I don't want to say too much. Pay your $37. It's going towards a good cause.
But you just exposed a loophole.
but show up. Just show up with your car. See what happens. You never know. You know, there was maybe 6 cars out of a potential 200 spots.
Well, here's the thing. And, you know, anytime JMU comes to town, you're going to get the opposing fan base. There's a ton of JMU alum in the Northern Virginia area, Arlington, Fairfax. So, you know, it's possible that they may be out there tailgating. I don't know. But I think it would look pretty bad if, you know, they showed up and they outnumbered the Mason fans. So, again, show up with your 70s wig, because apparently it's 70s night. I don't know if you saw that video of Paulson strutting around the rack in his, you know, best Travolta 70 Saturday Night Fever gear. But, yeah, it should be kind of a banger, right?
Did it make you chuckle?
I cringed, but chuckled.
a cringe chuckle?
Cringe chuckle, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I at least like when he opens himself up. Did I want to see him come out as Baby Shark? Absolutely not. But, you know, have some fun with these. I applaud Mason. You know, people want to hate on 70s night. They want to hate on the tailgating, all this. No. Have fun. Whatever.
The bits are fun. Yeah. Even the Family Matters bit last year, that thing went viral. Like, people were tweeting that all across the country.
And I think, you know, if that's what gets students in the seats, and cheering is, you know, another chance to dress up and get wacky, then I embrace it. I love it. Let's keep doing it. And I'm thinking for a tailgate, we're going to give out a prize to the person that looks the most 70s. I don't know how we're going to determine that yet. It's probably going to be me making a drunken decision.
Hey, if you want to find the person that looks most 70s, go to Brian's Grill.
But don't go to Brian's Grill. Come to our tailgate. We'll be out there grilling food, carne asada this Saturday. We'll have all the beverages that you need. And we're giving out. We're not being stingy in the slightest. So come on out. We'll be tweeting out where exactly we'll be. But if you don't see our tweets, look for the Mason and the American flag combo. It'll be flying high at our tailgate. Jonesy, what's next?
All right. Well, why don't we take a peek ahead? Why don't we take a look directly ahead of us, which is tomorrow, Wednesday, and let's just do some opposition research on Long Island University. They, you know, okay, another opponent with Long in their name, you know, kind of unknown. They're 0-2. They're kind of a nobody university. They're the Long Island University Sharks. Okay. you know, their first game, they actually lost to Rhode Island 76-65. It's kind of close, you know. Yeah. So they played them pretty well. This is a team, though, that actually does have a little bit of history. They've been to the tournament more recently than we have, so I don't know how hard we could bash them, but you know, without Kyer, I think it's just going to be kind of a clone copy of games one and two. You're going to have an inferior opponent, and we're just going to have our guys doing their thing. And so it'll just be interesting to see who steps up.
Game will be at Eagle Bank Arena, also streamed on ESPN Plus. If you don't have ESPN Plus yet, you should probably get it. It's $5.99. Ton of, you know, other things to watch besides college hoops, and you can always rewatch the Mason games later.
And just one thing I want to interrupt on the opposition research. So Long Island, probably the antithesis of what we are currently, where we have this balanced scoring. We have four players currently averaging double digits, and then Miller with 8.5. So, you know, pretty even scoring. Where Long Island is strictly just three dudes. You have Raekwon Clark averaging 21 points a game. You got another guy, Flowers, averaging 17. And then another guy, Bradley, averaging 12. And then everyone else is kind of just doing whatever. But it seems like the focus will be these three guys. So,
and are they guards, or is one a big?
You have two guards and a forward. So, and that forward, you know, he's 6'9", 200 pounds. So he's just a little straw. So maybe we, but he's averaging 17 and 13 and a half through two games, clearly, but 4.5 blocks a game. I mean, he's kind of like a AJ Wilson, maybe. I don't know, but
yeah. So you put an AJ on him. I'm pretty excited about our defense right now. You know, you see Hartwell and XJ and Green really get after it on the defensive end of the floor. All three guys seem to be devoted. You know, I think you can kind of mix and match with them on who you want to, you know, play your toughest guys on. And I think you just, with AJ Wilson, I tweeted it out, no layup is safe if he is in the paint or near the paint. I mean, the guy is chasing down blocks from the baseline. He's sending balls out like hitting it like a volleyball. I just, you know, you want to see him be able to kind of corral and keep the ball in so we can get transition going and maybe get some easy buckets. But for God's sakes, this man must be imposing fear in anyone who watches film at this point.
I want to put a bet down, and I'd be interested to know what Vegas thinks on the over-under, how many times we will see AJ featured on the SportsCenter Top 10. I'm thinking maybe one or two. I really think he's going to have like some insane block that'll be featured top 10 or some crazy dunk. But he is a human highlight reel right now. And, you know, he's getting the minutes and the opportunity to display this. What will really be fun if we get him on a national stage, you know, versus Maryland, and he puts up some ridiculous dunk, you know, that could maybe make top 10. I'm just saying that what he's doing right now, it looks unreal. Like, he makes our job, you know, the people filming him, taking pictures, it's so much easier, because it's not just like some nubby shot. Like, he's doing like violent dunks, violent blocks. He's got the emotion. He's getting the energy. The crowd's hyped. So he's special kid.
He's a legit pogo stick, can bounce from anywhere.
He's a skywalker.
So you're doing a look ahead. Let's not just stop at LIU. Why don't you preview the next five games? Because you seem to think not like discuss them. I just want to hear them, because you seem to think that we could go into Maryland at 5-0.
Yeah. So look, LIU, you know, probably going to be a win. I would estimate, and I think KenPom has this favored to win the next three games. So that's Long Island, JMU following that on Saturday. JMU played UVA recently. They played them like pretty well to start. I think it was fairly close. And then, you know, UVA just clearly pulled away. They're a superior team. JMU, you know, that'll be a toss-up, but we get them at home. So I think we could handle them easily. And then you have Loyola of Maryland. In fact, I think I remember playing them in Marquise Moore's final game, that like shitty tournament, the CIT, where we fell apart. Loyola beat us then, but clearly, I don't know if you want to deem that a revenge game or what, but we're probably going to beat them. So then after that, you could potentially be 5-0 heading to University of Maryland playing, you know, they're currently ranked 7 in the, like, how many times do we get to play a local team, B, a top 10 team, you know, this early in the season? So that's going to be like a real test. Do I think we could win? A lot depends on, like, can Kyer get back in time? You know, can the younger guys develop? Can we maybe really blow out one of these teams to you know, impose our dominance? But it could be interesting, you know, it, like, I'm not saying we're going to win, but it's going to be like our, obviously our first true test, and should prep us well for the Cayman Classic. So
I do think, you know, it's fun to be on the Big Ten Network, and then you're looking,
which is weird with Maryland. It's like, what?
Right. and you're looking ahead a little bit, and you know, whatever, even if we're 4-1 going into that game and we perform well, then, you know, you're excited for that. You look at potentially Kier coming back. What we do know is that he's out of the walking boot. He was in the walking boot versus Navy, wasn't versus Longwood. And I you have to assume that means that he's getting tested. They're working out that foot. It was a hairline fracture. Those things can linger. Sometimes they splinter. Sometimes they don't heal right.
Don't want to rush him back.
Right. And so, you know, do we need to rush him back for Maryland? Almost no, because I think you want to have, you want to be cohesive going into that game. You want to have the guys who have been playing together. You throw in Kier, who hasn't been practicing with the team. And what does that do when potentially you could wait till after the Maryland game?
But as a fan, though, I'm just kind of like, you know, if we're 5-0 heading into a top 10 game, you know, do I, you know, from my own greed, want to see like our best lineup out there for like the possibility of a random upset? Yes. Do I think it's actually really going to happen? Probably not. But,
and I think with the, you know, with Rhode Island getting a chance to play Maryland, it gives us really good film. You know, we know Rhode Island, it's the same team, similar team to last year, and you get to see how they performed against Maryland. And Maryland didn't look that good to start, and Rhode Island missed a lot of threes and kind of lost that game themselves. So I think that's a very good opportunity to watch some film to see them versus A-10 competition. You know, everything's kind of aligning for us. Will we get blown out? Probably. Would it be awesome if we competed and took them to the end? Yes.
We played them pretty well at the BB&T Classic years ago at the Verizon Center when we played them. It wasn't so much of a blowout. It was relatively close to start. Obviously, completely different lineups now. But I'm just saying, for the area, it'll mean a lot. You know, if you have recruits looking at, you know, local schools in the DMV area, it would be nice to not flex on them, but to just say, hey, Mason, we're here. Like, we're a program. Like, we exist, and we're not just this nothing program anymore. So, yeah.
Right. And it's also just like fun for fans. Like, we get to travel. Well, a lot of us fans will probably go up to Maryland. I've never been there. So it's just an opportunity to see a new venue, go to a new place.
Comcast Center looks nuts.
And just to kind of root for your team on the road. I mean, we have a lot of home games to start the season.
Most home games that I can remember in a long time to start a season. So
yeah, we clearly are kind of looking to ramp up the wins. And the one thing I've noticed is students have showed up. We've had 1,500 students at least for both games. The Gold Rush, whatever, they did their job. And you like to see it. You want to see exciting games. You know, even like just the fact that Longwood and Navy kept it close at times. One went into overtime. Fans don't know. These freshmen don't know any better. They're coming into those games having no idea who any of these teams are. They just want to see something exciting. And for better or worse, we've given that to them, and I think they'll keep coming back.
Quick opinion, how do you like the Gold Rush shirts?
I don't love them. It's a little like, if you look from a far away, like you have no idea what the shirt is. I actually really like the Gold Rush alumni shirts, which I guess is the first year that they've ever done this.
I guess I'm still kind of wondering, so Gold Rush is the term, and the shirts, all this has existed for a while, but what is the Gold Rush? Because the G-Force also exists, so it's not like the fan section.
And
like,
at this point, what is the G-Force? So, you know, it's kind of interesting because we're now talking to this guy, Wasim, who's looking to partner with us, and apparently he was a part of getting Gold Rush started. And what Gold Rush originally was created for was after 06, ESPN was coming for our banner raising for the Final Four. And the Mason and the fans wanted to be in unison for that. They didn't want people showing up in Virginia Tech sweaters and JMU shirts. So what they did was had a bunch of these Gold Rush gold shirts created so that when ESPN panned over to the students that everyone was going nuts in their gold shirts. It's since kind of like taken on its own identity, and it's become like a, almost like a,
Kind of hard to describe, right?
No, hold on. No, it's like a pep rally. It's like a way to like rally the fans, give away free shirts, and have everyone kind of rocking and looking the same. And so I think it's just kind of like lost its identity over the years as like the Patriot Platoon changed to G-Force and like who's really running the Gold Rush. I've now learned that it's student government has now taken over that. So I don't know if
more any bureaucratic tape.
Yeah, I don't think anyone necessarily really knows what any of it is, but it's doing its job and giving people free stuff and helping to fill the seats. And I think as the team gets better, things like that will kind of grow into their own.
Right. Can't complain. So.
Right. We don't complain. We're actually gonna do our best. Besides like DP and on court stuff, we're pretty happy with what Mason has done to improve the game day experience.
Yep.
Just the scoreboard alone kind of shuts me up. Turning the lights off for introductions.
The new hype sound. Video.
Yeah, and so talk a little bit about the new hype video. You seem to like it. I'm sort of A on it. So
my opinion is year one, it was sort of your generic hype. So, you know, like, you know, they're doing a lot of bouncing of balls and or whatever. But the bit this year with the lights, the thin lights, and there's, you know, flying around, I think it looks pretty cool. It looks more professional. I feel like I could see this on ESPN or something. Like, it doesn't feel as amateur to me. It's a little bit shorter. I assume they're probably going to throw in more highlights from this year to make it relevant and hype people up even more. So it may be an evolving type of video. But for now, I like the look of it. It looks pretty cool. So I would throw it up there with like VCU's. I mean, that was pretty lit.
I don't necessarily love like the graphics that they're using, like the flame on the ball and like the lights right. as it goes in the basket. That kind of stuff just kind of screams cheesy to me. But like I said, we're not here to complain.
One little side note, though. Did you see Dayton's?
No.
Bit? Go on Twitter after this podcast, or anybody that's listening, go to Twitter and look up Dayton's intro. They're doing the bit that the NHL playoffs were doing, where the ground morphs and they have like the stuff, you know, with like they were doing with the Caps in the Stanley Cup with the ice moving. They're doing that for their game days. I mean, it's pretty nuts.
So like there's video on the court?
Yes, there's video on the court. Wow. I think the entire arena just went through a huge update as if they needed it. It seats like 20,000 people already. The video is lit. The whole thing is just so next level. I mean, just wow. And Obi Toppin, that's a whole nother side discussion for PD on Hey10, but that is one legit hype video. So just wanted to touch on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. They actually posted up there like, they're like doing the whole like join the fight. So I called him out for like obviously just like mocking the Nationals. So, you know, I like poking fun at the A-10, but really, you know, at this point, everyone's just rooting for A-10 wins. You know, we have a couple games
kind
this
of
week.
Few and far between.
with VCU taking on LSU and a couple other opportunities in the A-10 to get some good wins. Just kind of, you know, continue rooting. We don't want to see teams take bad losses right now. And, you know, hopefully we can get ready before A-10 play.
Real quick, though, the thing that kind of sucks, though, VCU was our top 25 presence in the league. They won, but they barely won to beat North Texas. Thus, they fell out immediately after the next week. So that kind of bombed, you know, like we had our top 20. And then Davidson kind of fell flat versus their early opponent. So, you know, it could have been a better opening week for A-10 basketball, I guess, nationally speaking. So there's still opportunity. LSU's ranked top 25. They're going against Will Wade, so that should be a pretty interesting game to watch. But you know, that's just my two cents from the A-10 as a whole. So
A-10 doesn't really matter to me at this point. It's all about racking up wins here in Fairfax.
Hey, you just said it meant a lot to you.
2-0. And excited for a Wednesday-Saturday combo, with Saturday being a tailgate. So we'd love for all of you to show up. Chris, do you have any lasting thoughts you want to leave our audience?
Let's see. I think that if you need the bit like the 70s theme to get you in the crowd, then shame on you. Like, the fact that we're undefeated should be enough to get you into the crowd. Like, and yes, it's very early. We're 2-0, and maybe I'm way too size for this, but for me, it's been a while. So I'm kind of just like ready to see more games. I feel like a giddy schoolgirl, you know, when a game's about to start, just because I don't know what to expect, and it's been fun. So that's me.
It's fun enough to the point where we're both watching replays.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what?
and it's worth getting excited for, because this team is easy to root for. All the guys, you know, it's now a fully led Paulson team. Mm-hmm. It's guys that can show flashes of athleticism, show flashes of skills, and you can just see that they like to play together. Even a Calixt, who obviously had less minutes than Oduro. Anytime Oduro scored, Calixt was the first one off the bench going nuts. You can tell that the team vibe is there, and it translates to the whole arena. That's been rather electrifying, and I think it will only get better as we get better opponents in Fairfax and rack up these wins. Guys, this
Absolutely.
Has been By George, the original George Mason basketball podcast. Chris Jones, Brian Lawrence, and we will be back next week. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out.
Todd, to you. Thank you.